Ramsey TV.
Everybody wants to know what we're going to be doing when we are snatched away to be among the celestials seated at the right hand of God with Christ. Well, I know one thing for sure that we're going to be doing, for sure. And it's going to be early in the game. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 16. Yep, you're going to get that in this show. And this is something that can't be mistaken. It's written down in the scriptures. I don't care how fantastic it sounds, how unlikely it sounds. I don't think it sounds very unlikely. I just read the verse and I believe it. So I'm going to bring that to you today. Welcome to the show. This is Martin Zender. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, voted unanimously, by the way. Voted unanimously into that position. It was a great day. I celebrated with my family. And no, I did not take a day off. No, you don't get to be the world's most outspoken Bible scholar by taking a day off. So yesterday, another Rodney Paris Martin Zender 1-2 combination was published. And this, again, is from the Frank Whalen broadcasts on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This was a live call-in show I did in 2004. Might have done like 10 or 12 episodes, but this one is so good. We got like four callers, and they were all challenging. The one lady, though, was right on the same page with us, and it was so satisfying to hear her say the truth. As compared to the other callers, the truth, well, not so much. And what is a real joy to me is to hear Frank. This is a guy who loves metal music. He was doing a conspiracy theory show on an FM station in Fayetteville, Arkansas. My sister and I had run an advertisement in a radio broadcasters magazine where radio broadcasters and personalities can go to this magazine to pick guests for a show. Frank found me on there after I'd written How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, and he was just smitten. No, not by me. Well, maybe a little bit, but by the truth. And he is, you know, God put him in the fast lane, and that's one big sign to me that we're in the end of days, is because these people who are coming into this new, they're getting it so quickly. God puts them in the fast lane. This is a fast-paced show. It's linked below. If you haven't watched that, go there. And then Frank linked a Return to Zender video from 2018 on air. And that's a hoot, too. My pants are on fire in my car. That is so fantastic. So make sure you watch that video yesterday. If you haven't already, send it to your friends. I get more subscribers every day because of you. Because I don't do anything to promote this show. You understand that. So how is it that I get at least one subscriber every single day for the last 13 years? Not even exaggerating. How? Because of you. You send this show around. It's word of mouth. It's organic. It's a God thing. Now listen to this verse in Romans 16, verse 20. Now the God of peace will be crushing. Well, I got to stop right there already. It seems a little strange to see the word crushing right after God of peace, but I'm going to explain that to you. Now, let's try this again. Maybe I'll get through it. It's a very short verse. Romans 16, 20. Now the God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Can I read that again? The God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet. Emphasis is mine, but it's there. Dark face type in the concordant version. And this has to be one of the most unappreciated verses in all of Scripture. In fact, after 39 years of more than that, 42, 43 years of reading and studying Romans, I can't believe I have not seen this verse before. It really doesn't need explained. I'm going to elaborate on it, but it means what it says. That's the thing. And as soon as I read this, stopped long enough to appreciate it, I realized that God has given me the faith to believe it. That God is going to crush Satan under our feet. This is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how unlikely this sounds, because the first thing you're going to say is, well, God told Eve that she was going to bruise the head of Satan. He's going to hurt her in the heel, but she's going to hurt his head. And so we know that it was Eve's offspring, Christ, that dealt Satan a crushing blow at the cross. But wait a minute. God will soon, Paul says this to the Romans, subsequent to the cross of Christ, God will soon crush Satan underneath us. The God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. Well, what happened? I thought Jesus Christ crushed Satan at the cross. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but even though Christ dealt the death blow, the ultimate death blow to Satan, it's almost a death blow promissory note, in that Satan is still running amok, as far as I can tell. Satan is still running amok. This is why Paul in Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the full armor of God to protect us from Satan's lies. So Satan is still alive and well. He's doomed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's kind of like the truth of justification we've been talking about. The cross secured justification for the entire race, but it is only on those who are believing it. And so Satan was dealt, in other words, the justification is kind of like, I would say, a promissory note to all humanity. But we're cashing in that note early, and we're justified when we believe. So Christ on the cross dealt a death blow to Satan, but it was a promissory note. It was a guarantee of his future dismantling. It was the guarantee that that would happen. And Satan has been a liar ever since because he has no frontal power attacks. I'm not saying Jesus Christ didn't practically do something then to Satan. He devitalized everything that Satan could possibly do physically to you. Devitalized everything. This is important. Jesus Christ devitalized anything Satan could do physically to you at the cross. Satan has no more frontal attacks. And if he comes at you with a frontal attack, you need to just laugh in his face. It's a joke. He can't do anything because all works together for good. That happened because of our Savior. This is in Romans chapter 8. All things work together for good to those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. So that frustrates the heck out of Satan. Now all he has is lies. All he has is stratagems. Another way to say this is Christ's victory at Calvary guaranteed Satan's defeat, but it did not execute his sentence. The sentence of his defeat was not executed yet. It was, let's see, Satan was defeated in fact, though not yet in act. Let's put it that way. Satan was defeated in fact, but not yet in act. And the question is, when will Satan be devitalized? Well, and how will it happen? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to do that. First, let's just back up a little bit. Can we take this verse literally? Yes. Let's go down, point by point on this verse. And we know the scripture is literal if possible. And so, is there a literal being named Satan? Yes, there is. Is the "your" of the context? The God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. Is the context speaking of members of the body of Christ? Yes, it's written to the Romans. God will be crushing Satan under our feet. Now, is feet literal? Okay, well, let's see. Do we have feet? We do now. Are we going to have feet in the resurrection? You see how we can take this verse by verse and apply the rule, literal if possible? It's possible that we will have feet in the resurrection. So it's interesting that Paul speaks of this just as the prophecy concerning Eve bruising Satan's head. Feet, head. But I'll tell you what, I'll disadvantage myself by saying that it's figurative. It doesn't mean literal feet here. But it does mean beneath us. And how many times have I told you, and we know this, that we are going to be seated with Christ. Christ is above every sovereignty and authority that is named, both good and evil. And if we're in Christ, then we are also above every sovereignty and authority, including the ones that are evil. Therefore, every being apart from Christ will be beneath us. So when we devitalize Satan, when we carry out in act what Jesus Christ did in fact at the cross, it can't be anything but beneath us. So even if we have feet, it'll be literally beneath us. And even if feet is figurative, it will be beneath us in the sense of rule, in the sense of reign, in the sense of Satan will be, He will be subservient to us. The angels themselves will be subservient to us. The 24 elders will be subservient to us. The four animals at the throne obviously will be subservient to us. And so Satan is going to be subservient to us. But this banishing of Satan happens through an intermediary. But let me get to that. Crushing Satan. Well, let's see. Can a spiritual being literally be broken into pieces? No. Satan is a spiritual being, can't be literally broken into pieces. He's not going to be crushed like an eggshell. But I look at it as that he will be dismantled emotionally, spiritually, physically. Satan is physical. His physical presence will be really devitalized. We're going to see how that will be. We will crush Satan as an army, as an enemy army is said to be crushed during a war. We crushed the enemy. You didn't literally break them into pieces, but you dispersed their forces. You devitalized them. You made them of none effect. And that is what we are going to be doing. So if Calvary was a Satan is defeated promissory note, then when are the goods finally delivered? All right, to answer that question, I'll ask another question. What is the next event in the lifespan of the adversary that finds him vitally undone? Here it is, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And I perceived a messenger descending out of heaven, having the key of the submerged chaos and a large chain in his hands. And he lays hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the adversary and Satan, and binds him 1,000 years, and he casts him into the submerged chaos and locks it and seals it over him, lest he should still be deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years should be finished. Now, I want you to appreciate the historic nature of this near future event, because since his creation, Satan has not... Satan has not once been devitalized in this manner. He's been neutered as far as his frontal attacks are concerned. But to be devitalized where he doesn't affect anyone anymore? Not with frontal attacks, not with physical harm, but not even with lies. That has never happened before. Because since his creation, Satan has not only constantly vexed the celestial realms, but obviously everybody on earth. And you get right down to it, all trouble is caused by him. God's using him as a tool to cause the trouble. Man is born for trouble, but Satan's the one whose hands are directly on the trouble. This is why there are selfish people in the world, murderers, adulterers, thieves. This is why there are child molesters, terrorists, rapists, cons. This is why there's war, because of that son of a bitch, Satan. Never in human history or in the history of his own existence has the withstander of all that is good been practically disabled. And here it is. Now, it's a celestial messenger descending out of heaven, according to the passage in Revelation, that binds Satan in the submerged chaos for 1,000 years. And this event, this wonderful event, starts the clock for 1,000 years of peace and plenty that this earth has never known without the influence of Satan. Now, the messenger carrying the chain. Messengers, angelos in the Greek, King James translates it angels. They don't do anything of their own accord. Not even powerful messengers do anything of their own accord. And so the messenger that binds the adversary certainly cannot be acting of his own volition. An order has come down to bind Satan. This messenger, let's go back to the verse, I perceived a messenger An angel descending out of heaven, having the key of the submerged chaos and a large chain, lays hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, and binds him 1,000 years. This messenger is following an order from on high. This messenger, this angel just didn't get the idea one day, hey, I think I'm going to go bind Satan. It's about time. I'm tired of this. I'm going to go rogue. Going to bind the adversary. Everybody will be so proud of me. No. The question is, who gives the order? The body of Christ has already been snatched away to heaven at least 3.5 years prior to the return of Christ on this earth. I think 7 years, but at least 3.5. And it's at the return of Christ that Satan is bound, because he's bound for 1,000 years. He's gotten rid of before the former resurrection, before the worthies of Israel raised from the dead to be rulers and reigners on the millennial earth. Now you getting there? It's coming. Now, when we hear the title Christ at present during this time of our mortality, it can only be referring at this time to a single being, Jesus Christ. The time of our mortality, we've not been snatched away yet. The body of Christ has not been completed yet, so when we hear Christ, we think of Jesus Christ. But after the snatching away, when the title Christ is used, it can be used interchangeably. After we're snatched away, it can be used interchangeably of Christ or his body, because we will be carrying all the authority and the power, the delegated authority that even God gives to Christ will be given to us, because we will be in Christ. And I know it's an amazing thing. So when Christ is said to execute some act in the future, it need not be Jesus Christ alone. No. In fact, I will go so far as to say it will be his body. It'll be his body acting in his stead, probably, with all his authority, nothing lacking. All his authority, nothing lacking. Now let's go back to our verse. Now the God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Grace is right. My gosh, the grace of God that puts us in this position to be the ones. Huh? Yes, I believe that we are, because Paul says it, we are the ones who carry out this order. And when the messenger hears it, coming from us, this is a delegated duty that Jesus Christ personally, Jesus Christ himself, gives to the body of Christ. Because Paul says, now may the God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet. That's what he says. He doesn't say, may the God of peace. I almost misread it there. Now the God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet. We're the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. The swiftness of Satan's binding here in Revelation matches the swiftly that is describing how Satan is crushed under our feet. You will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. And why wouldn't this word be used? Because I think this is the same event. It's beneath our feet that Satan is to be crushed. That is, devitalized for the eon 4. The kingdom eon. We give the order to the messenger. The messenger binds Satan into the submerged chaos, which obviously is under our feet. And you could say it this way, Satan falls at our feet. Satan falls at our command. You wonder why you don't need to be afraid of him? He's afraid of you. Satan is afraid of you. Now. After this act, he's not only going to be afraid of you, he's going to tremble at your word. But now, he's afraid of you. You ever thought of it that way? This is a promise given to us to give us peace and comfort. It's comforting to know that Satan is afraid of you. And he's just got lies. He's got pyrotechnics. smoke and mirrors, try to scare you. Peter says, your adversary, Satan, walks about as a roaring lion. He's not one. The key word there is as a roaring lion. It's like the Wizard of Oz. I've used this analogy many times. Never gets old. It's the greatest analogy there is. The big, scary head.
I'm the great and powerful Oz.
Gas is fueling the flames. Pyrotechnics. Little man behind a curtain that a dog exposes. A dog named Toto. Unbelievable. Satan does hate us for this, but he can't do anything about it because we're protected by the sheen of Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You got nothing to worry about. Think about this. The misery of this world ends at our word, because Satan, because God will be crushing Satan swiftly under our feet. So at our word, so we don't actually do it. No, we give the order. And the messenger follows the order, and down Satan goes. The timing is perfect. Why didn't God get rid of Satan before? Why couldn't this have been done in the Garden of Eden before all this started? Because God needed him, obviously. God needed him. I guess it's not so obvious to millions of people called Christians. It's obvious to us. If it's so easy, there's no fight as spoken of here in Revelation. There's no wrestling match between the angel with the between the messenger with the chain and Satan. It's just like, whoa. Messenger comes down, binds Satan, boom, there he goes. It takes, what, 5 minutes? 5 minutes at least, at the most, I mean. 5 minutes at the most. You telling me this couldn't have happened in Eden? Of course it could have. God didn't want it to happen in Eden. Needed Satan for the duration of three eons to set the necessary backdrop of evil so that we can appreciate an eternity of good. But think of it again, think of it. The misery of this world ends at our word. The command comes from on high, and the declaration is out of our mouths. We dispatch the messenger, and it is done. 6 millennia of satanic abuse are over. Doesn't this add texture to Romans 8:19? For the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. This is the reason why, because it is the sons of God, it is the members of the body of Christ that are going to give the order that is going to, is going to finally bind the adversary, the dragon, the ancient dragon, so that he doesn't influence anyone for 1,000 years, and we're going to be the ones who do it. I'm going to end this with 1 Corinthians 15:57. Now thanks be to God who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.